I invite you this morning to pause at the cross. We can be tempted, can't we, to rush to Sunday. But I invite you to pause at the cross. Let's take a moment at this scene. The scene of the cross and the crucifixion. Let's pay attention to what we can see and what's happening. There is the cross in the centre, an ordinary cross. Jesus, bloodied and bruised, struggling to breathe, a twisted body. Beside him, on either side, criminals on the same cross, the same type of cross, also dying. The soldiers, they're doing their job. Some are guarding to make sure nothing untoward happens. The rest, a show of strength, to show who really is in control, to keep the peace. With so many soldiers, many of them are just sitting around playing a game of chance, dividing the plunder, indifferent to the dying. There's the religious leaders. They're there. They're making sure that this really goes ahead and that they're finally rid of this troublemaker. Take out the leader and the rebellion will fall away. Or they cry out. They can't help it. Mostly they're in silence, but they mock and jeer at Jesus. Then there's the crowd. Just the public. People who are a bit bored that day, come for the spectacle, a little bit of excitement in their lives, something to talk about over coffee. And then there's a small group of Jesus' 12 disciples. Just one is there, the youngest, the 19-year-old John. Where else would he be? And the ladies, those women, who had cared for Jesus and his disciples and fed them and made sure they were okay. Tears, grief, disbelief. But there is one person, let's notice that one person that doesn't belong here. She shouldn't be here. I've done many funerals. And when a parent is present at the funeral, it all seems wrong. We all expect someday as children to bury our parents to attend their funeral. 50% of spouses will be at their spouse's funeral. Our siblings, our friends, and we grieve that that is normal. But a parent, they just don't belong there. Let's focus on Mary and look at her. She's the one who dried his tears when he was a little boy, who wiped the blood when he skinned his knee, who dressed him and bathed him and taught him to walk and talk, who held all the hopes and the promise that was there. What was she thinking as she stood at the cross? Did she remember the angel who saw her as a young teenage girl and said, "You are the most blessed of all women. God has shown his favour on you." She didn't feel blessed right now. She didn't feel that favour at this moment. The angel said, "This baby will be the king of Israel and his reign will last forever." Did she remember the birth? That unusual birth? She's away from her family and friends and all that is familiar. Did she remember the shepherds and the talk of choirs of angels? Did she remember the foreign magi who came with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh? What good are those gifts today? Does she remember taking the baby Jesus, as was the custom, to the temple And the old man Simeon coming and saying, behold the hope of Israel. And the prophetess Anna, she couldn't stop telling everybody that this is the king who will reign over Israel. Does she remember when he was 12 years old? The coming of a man in their tradition, going to the Passover in Jerusalem, and on the journey back realizing that Jesus wasn't with his cousins and family, and having to go back to discover there he is sitting in the temple with the greatest teachers of the time, not teaching him, but he was teaching them. Does she remember just a few years ago when she pushed him and prompted him at that wedding to perform his first miracle, turning water to wine, a sign of a new kingdom? Does she remember all the crowds coming out? Her son, the celebrity. People couldn't get enough of him to hear him, to see him, to be healed by him. Does she remember these last few months when Jesus was resolute? We're going to Jerusalem. Did she, like the disciples, believe this was the moment when he would come into his kingdom and all of those prophecies would be fulfilled? Did she think just that past weekend, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the crowds waving branches and shouting out his name, he's coming into his coronation. His kingdom will begin. She turns her face away. How can you watch your son suffer? Does she piece it together? Does she see that this is his coronation? The greatest moment of Jesus' life. The very reason he came. If I am lifted up, I will draw all men to me. And with his last breath, struggling to breathe, he turns and looks to his mother. Mum, look at John. He's your son now. He'll care for you. He looks to John. John, take care of my mum. Treat her as if she's your own mother. His last words, isn't this just like Jesus? He's thinking of others. His last words is to take care of his mum. But of course we know that because this entire act is for others. Boy, when I stub my toes, I'm not thinking of anyone else. This is Jesus. His own moment of coronation. King Jesus. This moment is not an act of defeat, but one of humility. It is not one of selfish hubris, but other-centered love. It is not the end. It is the beginning. A new kingdom. I invite you to pause at the cross. King Jesus, we pause now at your cross. We see your love. We see a new kingdom. A new way. And we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Words are not enough. Thank you. We pause at your cross. I invite you now to pause at the cross. Jesus had said, whenever you eat of the bread, this is my body broken for you. Whenever you drink, this is my blood poured out for you. I invite you to pause at the cross. We're not going to rush this morning.